your piece in and does? Just let me know.
Okay. See what...
How's that? Is that any better?
Yeah, that is a little better.
Okay.
That gives you... I could use a little more volume from you if you got that, but...
No, that's it.
That's it. Okay, baby.
For some reason.
Yeah. Well, that's all right. I think it's going to be just fine. Okay. Let's have some fun. Here we go.
Okay.
From the Hill Country of Texas, this is One Radio Network.
And fun we do have, yes. It's nice to be here. Good morning. How are you? It's a few minutes after 10 o'clock. Just a minute or so. And my name is Patrick Timpone. And you've got OneRadioNetwork.com for a beautiful Central Texas morning. I hope it's pretty and where you are. But then again, rain is cool, too. We love the rain. We just broke out of about a three-year drought here in Central Texas. So the springs are flowing, and I can hear the waterfall now at night near my home. And, oh, man, nothing like water, eh? Well, we have a good show for you this morning. Quickly, tomorrow, Open Phone Friday, and then Dr. Russell Blaylock about swine flu on Saturday at 6 p.m. So good things coming up. This morning, a show that we have been looking forward to because it's hard to catch this man. He is on the move a lot. His name is Agnes Volderplanets. What a great name. He's a nutritional scientist and author, health motivator, teacher. Two books, We Want to Live, The Primal Diet, and also the Recipe for Living Without Disease. He's everything raw kind of guy, and when we catch him, he's in Malibu. Agnes, good morning. Thanks for getting up early. I know it's about 8 o'clock there.
Well, thank you. I've been up since 4.
What? Really?
Yeah. Really? I sleep about 4 hours a night, 4.5.
And so, really, you go to bed at midnight and wake up at 4?
The night before that, I only had 1 hour and 15 minutes.
Yeah, and how long have you been doing that kind of a regimen?
Oh, probably for about 10 years.
Really? So what about this idea that we have to get X amount of sleep per night in a row for all of our hormones and all the rechemicalization? I guess you don't buy into that, or
well, I don't need to because I don't eat all of the processed cooked foods that make the body overwork. Because when you cook foods, you destroy the structure of enzymes, the vitamins. You restructure the chemicals in it, the proteins, the carbohydrates, the fats. They become lipid peroxides, heterocyclic amines, and acrylamides, and a compound of other toxins. Right now, we've scientifically identified 32. There are many more, but they refuse to, academically, they refuse to search anymore.
Hmm. I heard... Well, wasn't acrylamide one of the substances that they found when you did French fries and potato chips and things like that?
Yeah.
Didn't that come out in the news some time ago?
Yes, anything you cook has an acrylamide factor.
Mm.
It's just that fried, high-carbohydrate foods are the highest,
mm-hmm.
like cereals, French fries, any chips. Those are the worst foods. And they find that in cancerous conditions... a high density of acrylamides are found in tumors.
Ah, so...
Anywhere from 30 to 60% of a tumor will be acrylamide.
I see. So it's even more dangerous frying or cooking the carbs than it is the meat.
Correct.
I see. Do you think it's a real downside for people who... sear their meat very quickly for 10 or 15 seconds? Do you think we're losing anything there if we do that?
Well, you're losing some, yes.
Uh-huh.
Of course, you're not losing a lot compared to if you cook it thoroughly.
Sure, of course. We're talking seconds.
Yes.
People have been on...
Just look at it this way.
Okay.
If you put your arm on a frying pan for 2 seconds, that's the kind of damage you're going to do.
I see.
So you might damage all of your skin, but you may not damage the muscle.
Uh-huh. We've had people on the show in the past, Agnes, that suggest that a good way to protect against any kind of buggies on the meat is to do that, and then there are no parasites in the meat unless the meat is really sickly. Do you think that's a consideration worth thinking about?
Not at all. I've been eating raw meats full of bacteria and even parasites since 1976, when I began eating raw meats, September of 76.
Mm.
And I've never had a problem.
Never. Now, one might argue that Agenus vulgarplantis probably has one of the most gangbuster guts going with the amount of hydrochloric acid and things. So is that a fair statement?
No, it isn't.
No, it isn't.
And it's a von der Planitz.
Von der Planitz.
Yes, von der Planitz.
Okay.
No, because when I had cancer when I was 19,
mm-hmm.
Actually the incision, the surgery was performed on me at 20 years old. I had the vagotomy pyloroplasty, which means they severed all the vagus nerves to my stomach, told me that I would never ever, I had stomach cancer, I would never be able to eat anything raw again, or else I'd be in danger of death from parasitical and bacterial invasion. I was not even allowed to eat raw apples or bananas. They all had to be cooked, steamed, or some way heat treated.
Mm-hmm.
And so I did that and just got sicker and sicker. And then when I started eating raw foods and raw meats, I never had a problem.
Mm.
Even though I still don't have the hydrochloric acid in the stomach.
Do you think you have it now?
Well, I have it in the small intestines. We have it in the small intestines. Just I don't have that concentration in the stomach.
And, well, so by eating raw with the enzymes and things, Agenus, then that it works for you.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I was supposed to be dead 42 years ago, so here I am.
Yeah, the rumor of your death was slightly exaggerated.
Yeah.
Here's our phone number if you have a question for this gentleman. Agenus von der Planitz. I said Boulder, but it's von der Planitz. Here's the phone number, 888-663-6386. We'll put you on hold and pick it up live on the air. So just hang out there. You'll be able to hear the show on as you're on hold. And if you're shy, we can do emails. Patrick@oneradionetwork.com. And we have emails already waiting for you. You want to get to some of them? Would that be all right with you, Agenus?
Yes, absolutely.
Here we go. This is from Amir. Can you please ask Agenus why it's good to eat lots of honey but not fruit, since they both contain similar sugars?
Well, that's an easy question. That's an easy answer.
Even you can do that one.
Yes, the bees collect the nectar, and they swallow it. And when they swallow it, they produce an insulin-like substance which converts the carbohydrates into enzymes for digesting and utilizing fats and protein.
Mm.
If you heat the honey over 93 degrees, you destroy that insulin-like substance, and it goes back to sugar. So fruits don't have that. Well, there are a few foods that have an inulin-type substance, like in the Jerusalem artichoke, and in some melons. So they aren't as high as in sugar as if you analyze them. But when you analyze a food, you have to treat it, and when you treat it, you convert it into a carbohydrate for testing.
Oh.
So that's what they do with the honey, and they say, well, we tested honey, and it's all carbohydrate, no matter if it's raw or otherwise. Well, if they didn't use those methods in testing, they wouldn't convert it back into out of an enzyme relationship pattern.
Hmm. You mentioned 93 degrees. We've always heard that 118 is the number for killing enzymes. Lower for honey?
Well, enzymes aren't alive.
They're not alive?
No, they're proteins that are structured together in myriads of different ways to either disassemble cellular particles so that bacteria can eat it, or to reassemble. So enzymes have many different, structures, but they're not alive. They have no, just like virus, they have no nucleus, they have no respiratory system, no digestive tract. They're just protein structures. It's like saying a house is alive even though it's functional.
Hmm.
No, it's not alive. It's the way it's structured. But you can damage those by heat. You fractionate the bonds of the proteins, so then they fall apart, and then they don't perform the function that they were supposed to, either to assemble or disassemble.
So they're not living, but they're by not heating substances, we keep them in a form that our body likes?
Well, yes. When we take in an enzyme from a food, we will disassemble it in a way that it will be restructured. Those enzymes are registered with the pancreas, and the pancreas is the architect of the body, and it will decide how that food will be destructured and restructured. And it sends that information to the intestinal tract. As the 90% of digestion is bacterial. Only 10% is supposed to be enzymatic, digestive juices.
Bacterial. So we actually have then these bacteria in the stomach itself, or just in the lower end?
Well, we have the Campylobacter in the stomach, and of course, the and ones grown in a laboratory are not really natural, so then the pharmaceutical industry, medical industry, and health departments point to that and say, see, it eats healthy cells. Well, only if it's out of its natural environment. Campylobacter is not a janitor. It's a bacteria that helps destructure certain foods and helps digest it. Now, if 90% of our food comes from bacteria, that means we eat the excrement and secretions of bacteria after they eat the food. Our digestive enzymes will disassemble or break apart large food particles so that bacteria can eat. Now, a lot of people with all of the food additives are destroying, and all the antibiotics and antiseptics are destroying their ability to digest because they're destroying their bacteria. 99% of all functions in the body are bacterial. So the pharmaceutical industry and the medical industry keep people sick, and that's their intent. And you can say, oh, that's conspiracy theory. And I would have to say absolutely the same way the tobacco industry puts chemicals in your cigarettes to release the nicotine and keep you addicted. That's a fact.
Let's take a call or two. What's your first name? Where are you calling from? Hello?
Hello.
Hi, go ahead. You're on the air.
Hello, gentlemen. My name is Yuri. I'm calling you from Ukraine. First of all, I want to thank you both. Patrick, your show is awesome, and imagine it's your raw concept is enlightening. I have this question. Several people that I know, myself included, have suffered from practicing intermittent fasting, that is, eating one meal a day. That caused massive health problems, including cold intolerance, extreme fatigue, and I think it's related to hormones. So could you suggest how to bounce back and recover effectively from hormone imbalance, something like that?
Well, when you eat one meal a day, you have great deals of problems. The first and major is that the blood protein drops after 5 hours of not eating. And if you don't eat, let's say if you ate fruit in that one meal, then you're never supplying the proteins properly. So the red blood cells become cannibalistic and they eat each other. So let's say you're sleeping an 8 hour period, 8 to 10 hours at night, and you don't waken and you don't eat anything in that period. Depending upon how active your body is in your sleep, your heart rate, and your brain activity, and your lungs, you can consume anywhere from 2 to 4 tablespoons of red blood cells every night. That means that you will wake up with anemia. That's why people who awaken after 8 to 10 hours and are tired have to go for some kind of drug like caffeine or nicotine or theobromine or theophysine, something like that from chocolate, to boost their energy level because they've had they have anemia. And those drugs are not a cure for anemia. Eating's a cure for anemia. So I suggest for people who, during the night that they wake up, if you're a very hyperactive person, and if you eat after 5 hours, you can't go back to sleep, and you want 8 hours, then it's better to wake after 3 hours and then sleep 5 hours. But to recover from that kind of eating, from a mono diet, it's called a mono meal diet, it's usually better to sip on raw milk, to eat lots of raw eggs. Raw eggs digest in about 27 minutes because your body doesn't require, or it's not required of your body to form enzymes to disassemble large food particles. It's already in liquid form, so the bacteria can go right to work. So it only takes up about 27 minutes and about 5 inches of the small intestines to digest and absorb eggs. If you're eating one at a time, if you eat two at a time, it could take about 50 minutes or less. So eggs are the best way to supply massive amount of nutrients and reawaken the digestive tract. And sipping on some raw milk throughout the day is also helpful.
Hmm. So if one wakes up in the middle of the night and they want to try to do a whole 8-hour stretch, you could eat a little protein then, and in the middle
go
of the
back
night?
To sleep, yes.
And just eat a little protein of some kind?
Yes.
A little sip, some raw milk or egg?
Yeah, you could have like a half a cup of raw milk or a couple of raw eggs or, you know, about a golf ball size of meat, raw meat.
Hmm. Does that help you, Mr. Ukraine?
Yeah, thank you very much for the explanation.
You're very welcome.
Thank you for calling. We sure appreciate that you're out there. What's your first name, and where are you calling from?
Patrick, Ben D'Agostino, Albany, New York.
Hi, Albany. Go ahead. You're on the air with Agnes van der Planets.
I know. Agnes, in your book, We Want to Live, you mentioned taking olive oil for Cadillac's cataracts. Can you suggest anything else plus the olive oil?
Yes, you can use any kind of a good cleansing raw fat. Coconut cream is an oil that you can get. Now, the only truly raw fat that I recommend are all pressed under 96 degrees, and there's no oil that you can get pressed under 96 degrees these days unless you're pressing it yourself. And the only, I've watched people, and they claimed that their oils were pressed under a certain temperature, and I took a heat gun, a thermometer gun, and held it right up against where the oil was coming out, and it was going all the way up to 176 with pumpkin seeds and flax seeds about the same. It was down to as low as 134 with pumpkin seeds, but usually it went higher. Sunflower seeds, after about a minute of pressing, was down to a good temperature, but that's not in a high manufacturing environment. So I found that you can only get stone-pressed olive oil and coconut cream if you press it yourself with like a Green Star juicer. There is one oil that's pressed under 93 degrees in Thailand, and if you went to ThaiOrganics.com, that website, that's the oil. I sat and watched all day, watched them make that one in Thailand, so I know it's good.
That's a good lead, ThaiOrganics.com, and they have an olive oil on there under 96 degrees.
Correct. No, not an olive oil. That's a coconut oil.
I'm sorry, coconut oil.
Yeah, theirs is a coconut oil.
Okay.
You can get quite a few stone-pressed olive oils in this country. You just have to know what brands.
And call them up and maybe really find out what they're doing.
Well, most of them will lie to you. if you say, is it stone pressed,
yeah,
then you'll get a truthful answer. Because when you're stone pressing, it can never go over 82 degrees.
Oh, is that right? Oh, that's interesting. Did that help, Ben?
Thanks very much, Patrick and Agnes. Thank you
very
much. You're
very welcome.
You're quite welcome. 888-663-6386, Agnes von der Planets, wewanttolive.com. You can also, I think it's, doesn't primaldiet.com get them there as well?
Yes, well, that's my publisher's website for my book.
I see.
The We Want to Live with the two is the a numeral two rather than T-O, so it's We Want to Live. .com. That is a couple that I've contracted with to publish my information that's beyond my books.
Mm-hmm. Richard writes that he wants to know why some of the combinations, for example, in your drink, what's it called? He doesn't mention it, but what's your famous one? Is the power drink. Yeah, the power drink, like putting the lungs together.
Right.
Well, with the other
brains.
The brain in that. Is there a magical component to that, or do we lose anything if we don't have one of those? Do we lose?
No,
much?
You don't lose. Well, you may lose a little bit. Let's say the brain stimulators won't be there if you don't have brain in it.
Mm-hmm.
And those particular organ stimulators or glandular stimulators won't be there.
Mm.
But you'll get the benefits of the others.
Yeah. I have to tell you, folks, your hostess had some experience because the first time we talked to Agnes, he had suggested trying some thyroids from grass-fed animals and maybe adrenals. And since then, we've been doing that. I have, and friends of mine, and my thyroid and adrenals, they're really getting stronger. So, Agnes, it works.
Yes, it does. I wouldn't be doing this if it didn't work.
It works. And it's so interesting, the fellow that you turned us on to, we really like a lot, and that's Amos Miller of Miller's Organic in Bird in Hand, Pennsylvania.
Yep.
And a friend of mine, a doctor, actually had an experience with a buffalo place up in the northwest. And
North Star Bison in Weiss, Wisconsin.
Yeah, and he was getting thyroids from them.
Correct.
And the last time he called, they said, well, you really need a prescription.
Well, the FDA is telling them that, yes, now.
Oh, gosh, well. Okay, here is an email from JM. Greetings, Agnes. Would you pronounce judgment upon? Would you pronounce judgment upon? Okay. One.
Upon what?
I'm going to tell you right here. Okay. Regional seasonal nutrition, i.e. light, watery cleansing foods in the summer and spring, heavy, dense foods in the winter.
Well, that's definitely following nature. When it's cold, your body needs to thicken the blood and you use less water, less H2O. I don't drink any water at all from fall through winter and into spring.
Enough moisture in the raw meats and fats and vegetables and fruits.
Yes, well, your meat's 55% water.
Really?
And fruits anywhere from 90 to 92% water. Milk is 82 to 86% water, but it's mainly 86% water. So everything is full of water.
Hmm.
And it's ionically bound and mineral bound the way it should be delivered to cells. Cells should rarely ever be given straight water, H2O, because it causes dryness.
So the purists would say, well, that's fine, well and good, but you still need basic, clean, good water, at least X, blah, blah, blah.
Well, that happened in 1961 and 62 when Coca-Cola and Pepsi-Cola's side trust, decided to bottle water. So they hired all these doctors to go out and tell people that they needed to drink 8 glasses of water a day. Before that, you never heard anybody say you need to drink water.
Is that right?
It like was milk and orange juice and things like that.
I'll be darned. You mean like in the early 1900s, there wasn't a thing about drinking so much water? This
never,
is
never. In fact, it was known you shouldn't drink water.
Because?
Because it dehydrates cells. And it dries out the intestines and washes nutrients away.
Let's go to the telephone again. Hi, what's your first name? Where are you calling from?
Hi, this is John DeRosa, and I'm calling from Washington, D.C. area.
Hi, John. Go ahead. You're on the air with Ogenus.
Yes. Ogenus, I know you've I've been on the Primal Diet for a long time, and my question is in regard to the toothpaste. I've been using that new mixture you've got of coconut cream, tamarind clay, and apple cider vinegar.
Yes.
And I think I've overdone it because I got 1 tablespoon of coconut cream, 1 tablespoon, or 1 teaspoon of clay, and 1 teaspoon of apple cider vinegar. It must be incorrect because my gums have become sensitized to the where get bleeding because I've been doing it for about 6 months.
And are you doing it? How often are you doing it?
Yeah, I started out doing it every day.
Oh, well, that's not necessary. As I made a statement, you know, it'll dissolve and keep it pretty clean for 3 days. Only if you have heavy plaquing is it good on those teeth where you have heavy plaquing. If you want to dilute it some more, use a whole tablespoon of clay and, you know, just a teaspoon of vinegar and a tablespoon of the coconut cream. And I'd still only do it once every other day at the most.
And caller, tell everybody. Excuse me, caller. Tell everybody what you were using exactly.
Oh, Ogenus mentioned that I was using 1 tablespoon of coconut cream,
mm-hmm.
1 teaspoon of what's called tamarind clay.
Tamarind clay, yeah.
And 1 teaspoon of apple cider vinegar.
And Ogenus, you say you just don't want to do that every day.
No, it's usually, I suggested every 3 days, once a week even.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you don't need to brush your teeth with anything but, let's say, coconut cream on a daily basis. But to dissolve plaque. Plaque comes from heavy metals being discharged from the brain out the gums.
Mm.
So it has a lot of toxic metals in it because of our processed and cooked foods. So what happens is the body will use a lot of calcium, phosphorus, magnesium, and potassium to bind with like mercury, lead, or anything like that's coming down the gums, and that's plaque on the teeth. That is a defense so that the mercury, lead, whatever it is, does not damage the dentine. However, when we eat cooked foods, even if we eat raw foods, those free radical heavy metals are so toxic that they can eat through those alkalinizing minerals and start deteriorating the dentine in about 3 days if it isn't cleansed. So I say once a week, at least every 3 days, brush with that mixture, and that will keep the plaque removed so the heavy metals don't damage the dentine. And that's what causes bacteria. You damage the dentine, then the bacteria rises to clean the dead tissue so you can replace the dentine. Of course, nobody eats well enough to replace the dentine.
My further question is, I obviously really overdid it because I put a hole in one of my incisors, a little small hole.
Wow.
Well, it's unlikely that caused it. You had to have had, if it put a hole in there, you already had to have a soft spot there that was already damaged.
Okay.
But that will just make your gum sensitive, usually.
I just stay on my standard diet to get that to heal up?
You could eat some cheese and honey together. How tall are you?
I'm about 5'8".
Okay, I would suggest about 2 tablespoons of raw no-salt cheese with a teaspoon of honey.
So that's 2 tablespoons of unsalted cheese.
Right, unsalted raw cheese.
And 1 teaspoon of raw honey.
1 teaspoon of honey, so it's very little honey.
Okay.
Now, cheese, when it's raw, will not digest. It'll attract the poisons that are dumped from the stomach from the stomach lining into the stomach and throughout the intestines, and absorb it, hold on to it, and then like a sponge, and discard it in the fecal matter.
Should I do that?
Raw cheese, when eaten with honey, directly with honey, not with anything that already has honey in it, but when you eat cheese and the honey together, you will be able to digest the minerals in the cheese, and then it becomes a mineral supplement.
Should that be two or three times a day, or?
Well, I would say you could do it three times a day until everything stabilizes, probably in about 7-10 days.
Okay.
And then after that, do it twice daily after your meat meals.
Okay. That sounds wonderful. Thank you very much.
You're quite welcome.
Welcome.
Agenis, meat meals, for those who don't know what you talk about, eating some raw meats, do you then recommend people eat something with the meat, butter, vegetables, fruit, or eat the meat alone?
Well, you never want to eat vegetables with it because vegetables are alkalinizing and require a whole different set of digestive activity. We don't have much bacteria to digest cellulose, so it damages the system quite a bit. That's why your long-term vegetarians come to the point where they can't even digest but one food at a time, and then later in life even can't do that, and then they're allergic to everything. That's not all long-term vegetarians, but most of them that I've met. And I've met probably about 3,000, over probably 3,200 in my lifetime, and only 8 of them did the diet healthfully. So it's certainly from empirical evidence that we're not meant to be vegetarians. So eating vegetables with a raw meat meal is a detriment.
It is.
To the digestion of the meat. However, if you're eating cooked meats, then, of course, raw vegetables are healthy with it because it helps alkalinize and provide some enzymes. That's if the vegetable's raw, of course.
Mm-hmm.
Salad's raw.
And so with the raw meat, what's the best thing to eat with it?
Raw butter so you don't burn up your meat as fuel,
mm-hmm.
as pyruvate, or even turn it into an acetate.
Mm-hmm. What about the blood type diet? Another email wants to know if you think that there's something to that, and does it matter what our ancestors ate 4 or 5 generations back?
Well, I have to say that most of that is all intellectual, intellectual masturbation, as far as I can see, because I've had over 50 type A's come to me from the food for your type diet, the Adamo's intellectualism. And it's based on theory, not actual practice. So I had 50 type A's who were told not to eat red meat come to me with anemia and 2 with leukemia from that particular eating style. And as soon as I put all of them, all 50, it's about 51 or 52 of them now, on a red meat diet or put red meat in their diet, they got healthy very quickly.
Here's an email from Rosalind. She says, when indigenous people fermented meat and fish in the ground, making high meat, did they have to dig it up every 4 days? I want to ferment meat this way in the ground. Do you have any tips on making it out of the refrigerator? Tell folks what high meat is.
Well, high meat's when you let the bacteria in the meat pre-digest itself so that your bacteria doesn't have to be as worked in your intestinal system, doesn't have to be over-activated since we're so low in it already. It's a way to infuse it into the body and help protein digestion or any kind of food, the fats in the meats as well. And there are a lot of tribes that do it. The Eskimos are very famous for doing it in September. They'll eat anywhere from 2 to 3 pounds within a 24-48 period of the stinkiest, highest, most disgusting raw meat you can ever imagine.
Wow.
But what it does is they call it high meat because it makes you happy.
Really?
Yeah, and it's high in bacteria is why I call it high meat.
And you eat that too, don't you?
I did a Ripley's Believe It or Not and had several patients who had psychological problems when I've been taking medication for about 27 years,
mm-hmm.
and had been taking up to 7 different ones a day. And when she got onto the high meat, and she didn't eat as much as, you know, just a whole meat meal, but she ate probably a golf ball size a day.
Mm-hmm.
And she was off her meds.
Really?
You know, in a couple of weeks.
Just all that bacteria.
Yep.
You have
to understand, 90% of digestion is bacterial.
Hmm.
90% of all functions in our body are 99% are bacterial.
And bacteria is just all over the body, small intestine, large intestine.
Everywhere.
Everywhere.
Every cell is full of bacteria.
So that will really play into the whole idea, Ajahnus, that when we take a like an antibiotic, then it plays havoc with the whole system.
If you take a 10-day, 7 to 10-day round of antibiotics, you've destroyed 1%, 1% of the bacteria in the body.
Hmm.
And you've got people taking it for 6 months. Every week they're losing 1% of the bacteria in their body. The medical profession loves it because you're going to be always sick. You're always going to be sick. Yeah. You're always going to be malfunctioning.
How do we install more bacteria into our body if folks have taken a lot of birth control pills and antibiotics over the years?
Like the Asians do and the Eskimos do, you eat rotten eggs and you eat rotten meat.
That's it, huh? Well, how about the fermented foods? Do they work? Is that good?
But that's not cooked rotten meat.
No.
Because they putrefy. They can make you very ill. Because just like we get sick on cooked foods, bacteria get sick on cooked foods, too. So their waste is highly toxic instead of being nutrifying for it.
So do the raw vegetables or fermented vegetables, fermented milk and such, do they instill good bacteria?
Yes, absolutely.
Okay, so.
But your fermented vegetables are more detoxifying.
Mm-hmm.
So you may get colds and flus, aches and pains when you eat it. If you're a cooked food eater, it is a good balance. If you eat cooked foods, the fermented vegetables are a good thing.
Do you suppose one of the reasons why you intuitively are not that high on vegetables is that all these vegetables available to us aren't really wild or authentic vegetables? They're all kind of hybrids.
Well, that's true.
Do you think is that true?
But, you know, it's GMO's the only problem there. Hybrids are not a problem. Mm. It's just a crossing of species.
Mm. You still do juices, though, Ajahnus?
Yes, I do. I juice vegetable juices. I don't eat as much as I used to. I used to eat from 3 to 4 cups a day. Now I'm down to about 12 ounces a day.
Of a green juice of some kind?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
I'll have, you know, like, let's say 10% parsley, 5% cilantro if you're trying to get rid of heavy metals
mm-hmm.
in the body, about 30% carrot, about 30% celery, and about 25% cucumber puree.
Mm-hmm. Do you run across people around the country, Ajahnus, that get into trouble with eating too much fruit and getting their blood sugar out of whack?
Oh, I did that for many years.
Yeah, so did I.
I lost all my teeth and bones.
Boy, me too, man.
And I went down to 118 pounds from 160.
Mm.
And my blood cancer resurged again from that diet.
Yeah.
As well as almost losing all my teeth.
You think it's a...
I just didn't make them fall out. It rotted the teeth.
My goodness.
Decayed the teeth.
You think it's a reasonable thing when we're trying to figure out the blood sugar thing to take the little test in the morning and see where it's at? And
no, those blood sugar tests don't mean anything. That's a pharmaceutical way of getting people to take insulin.
Hmm.
A lot of people should have very high sugar levels.
Oh, really?
Yep.
So you think this thing of 85 in the morning is a misnomer?
Well, it's to get people to take insulin.
Here's an email
to run to a doctor.
Here's an email from Ryan. That's why we love Ajahnus. Here's an email from Ryan.
If you've got a sugar problem, you're not going to get out of bed in the morning. You're not going to be able to get off the couch. That's an insulin problem.
I see. You mean even
if you've got a blood sugar problem where you get dizzy when you stand up
mm-hmm.
because you've got low blood sugar, then stop eating high carbs. that cause a bottom out. You eat your high carbohydrate foods like fruits with some kind of fat.
Oh, the fruits with the fat, like coconut oil.
Coconut oil. Mm-hmm. Well, I prefer whole fats.
Like
coconut cream, or butter, or dairy cream, or avocado.
Yeah. You mentioned coconut cream and you, in your books. Are there coconut creams that you can recommend that are really good enough to purchase, or do we just need to make it ourselves?
You have to make it yourself. There are three places in the United States. I imported the machinery from Thailand to do it. So there are three places that produce it with low,
low heat.
It's like 82, 83 degrees.
Mm-hmm.
However, we do get the room up to 85 because you won't get as much out of it. As long as it doesn't go over 96 degrees, it's fine. But I've never found anybody that produces that way except for those places in the United States, Chicago, Arizona, and where's the other one? In Los Angeles, that produce it. And if you go to www.wewanttolive, two is the numeral two instead of T-O, wewanttolive.com, I have a product list on there.
Okay.
That gives the information on the very first page at the top of the list. The places that produce the coconut cream.
Now, how is it made and why is it beneficial to eat?
Coconut cream contains 80 coconut in general contains 80% fat, 15% protein, and 5% carbohydrates. That is the exact citric acid cycle of us utilizing fats as fuel to get the highest ratio of energy. Fats contain 2.5 times more energy than carbohydrates or proteins. So in the same amount of grams and everything. So I like coconut cream because it produces good energy. It also cleans the body very well. It's a very good solvent. It does not stabilize the body like butter or dairy cream or meat fats. It is used more as a solvent than those other animal fats, but it's a very good cleanser, and it helps lower the blood pressure and cholesterol levels for those people who panic about those things, and they shouldn't.
Mm-hmm. And is it advisable to eat this coconut cream alone or with other things? Does it matter?
It should be eaten with something else. With fruits, it's very good. It'll even be more of a cleanser.
Mm-hmm.
If you know what fruit cleans a certain part of the body, that you have a problem, where you have a problem. In my book, We Want to Live, in the remedy section, you go through there and find out what foods are used. And the fruits that would be used for that condition or that body part could be eaten with the coconut cream, and I always suggest a little bit of animal fat with it to make sure that while you're detoxing, you're also stabilizing the body's cells.
Here's an email from Jennifer in South Africa. Hi, Jennifer. There's a lot of recent research linking brain disorders with the state of the digestive system, i.e. celiac disease has been linked to schizophrenia. Can the raw food diet you advocate be used to treat mental disorders like OCD, bipolar, and depression, etc.?
Absolutely. Like I said, the high meats are used and work the best for any of that. Usually when you have depression or any kind of a depressive psychological issue, it's low bacteria in the colon. The E. coli and bacteria in the colon, and the major part of that is E. coli. The colon is even more bacteria than the small intestine. It's almost entirely bacteria, and there are no digestive enzymes relatively in the colon compared to the small intestines. It's an entirely bacterial environment. And those bacteria are meant to digest to the finest particles of fat and protein to feed the brain and nervous system. So people who take enemas, colonics, laxatives are destroying the intestinal environment and making some of themselves prone to depression or other psychological depressive symptoms. Anxiety is usually not exercising enough. People produce so many hormones for physical activity in a day, or they're eating things that irritate their nervous system that generate such hormones. If you are in anxiety, that's a sign that you need to exercise. So when the pharmaceutical industry gets hold of people with children with ADD, they will never be cured, and that's the whole point. Keep them on medication. You have a child that has a hyperactive condition, the child just needs to exercise like in the old days. We used to have a good athletic period for those people who needed it. And to give you an example, I had a patient who was a teacher, and she was hired by a grade school to teach difficult children. So all the difficult children were put in her class, and she asked me what she could do because, you know, you weren't going to get these people to change their diets very easily, and she did encourage that, eating raw foods, raw fruits, and apples and bananas and stuff like that, and avocados. But she said, is there anything that I can do? And I said, these children are hyperactive. Take 5 to 10 minutes or 5 to 7 minutes at each hour and just let them go crazy in your room, dance around, throw things, and then spend 3 minutes cleaning up the room, and then let them sit and say the word OM. Now, when you put a biofeedback on the brain and you say the word OM, it completely puts it in an alpha-type state of relaxation. So by doing that, the children's excess hormones were depleted for an hour or 50 minutes, and the brain was put into a relaxation state. The children were perfect. There were no violence. The grades went all up. Everybody was wonderful.
Very interesting. What's your first name and where are you calling from?
Me?
Yes.
Peggy from New Mexico.
Speak up, Peggy. Go ahead.
Hi. I just wondered what he thinks causes osteoporosis.
Osteoporosis.
Processed foods, pasteurized dairy, anything that is cooked will help to cause that problem. There are other things that will add to it, like eating tremendous amounts of citrus. Anything that will rob the body of its calcium supply.
Is this a new disease, like in the last 80 years or anything?
No, it was found in tribes all over the world. It's found in New Guinea. The tribes that just eat cooked meat. That's one of the only five diseases that they have. Now, those tribes that eat just the raw meat are eating the proper human diet, which is an animal diet. So they only have five diseases, but osteoporosis is one of them. Heart disease and arteriosclerosis they do not have. Your vegetarian communities have a lot more osteoporosis. People who eat skim milk have a high rate of osteoporosis. But it is the body uses calcium, phosphorus, magnesium, potassium to bind with free radicals in the body.
And this can be fixed by eating a raw diet?
Yes. If you're eating a cooked food, you have all those free radicals, and you lose, and you're cauterizing those minerals, so they're only half as effective. It's been shown that if you pasteurize dairy, only 50% of that calcium is utilizable.
Well, how long does it take to grow the bone back if you actually have broken it?
On the primal diet, it depends upon how much deterioration you've had. I've had people with deterioration that have come to me up to 37% bone loss, and it's taken about 2.5 to 3 years to correct that.
Okay, thanks.
Which is nothing.
You're quite
the medical profession says it's forever.
Do you think some weight resistance kind of thing or even rebounding could help a lady like that?
Well, not unless you're getting the proper nutrients. It's better.
Right, you got to have the fuel, huh?
Yeah, when you're eating the proper foods to restructure the body, and you have a disease condition, most of the time it's better not to exercise, spend your nutrients on exercise. Because we can never eat enough to make up for all the losses and imbalances in a day. So it takes, according to Dr. Howell and Dr. Pottinger's work with animals, to get them back, get diseased animals back to a proper homeopathic optimal state, took five generations.
Wow.